is no longer appropriate to sound the alarm that we must start immediately to deal with climate change, or we are going to be in very big trouble in the near future. That future is here. We are already in big trouble. Unprecedentedly violent hurricanes following one right after the other. One of the most destructive wildfires in California history continues to rage. And that's just the U.S. Violent storms are increasing in number and severity all over the world. Today I'm going to share excerpts from two articles that are sounding that alarm. The first is by Connor Lynch, entitled Climate Change and Capitalism. We can't confront one without facing the other. Amid this devastating storm season, Lynch begins, we must talk about climate change and the economic system behind it, the bleak reality of what we face in the decades to come if we do not deal with climate crisis today, with sadly on display as historic floods engulf the most populous city in Texas, displacing tens of thousands of people and causing up to $190 billion in damage, followed by Irma generating some of the most powerful winds in recorded history. Note this article was written before Hurricane Maria and the California wildfires. It is becoming impossible to ignore the real-life consequences of global warming as extreme weather events become ever more prevalent. After Harvey, a consensus seemed to form among experts that we cannot talk about these disasters without talking about climate change. On CNN.com, environmental activist Mark Linus went one step further when he declared that we now have a moral duty to talk about climate change and to resist the attempted conspiracy of silence imposed by powerful political and business interests opposed to any reduction in the use of fossil fuels. We owe this to the people of Texas as much as to those of Bangladesh and India and Niger, wrote the prominent environmentalist. Linus obviously isn't wrong to link climate change to extreme weather we've experienced around the world over the past few weeks. Climate scientists have been warning of more extreme weather for two decades now. Linus also isn't wrong to say that we have a moral duty to talk about climate change in light of Harvey, as well as the devastating monsoons that ravaged South Asia, which killed more than 1,000 people. The fact that many American politicians, including the current president of the United States, still deny that human-caused climate change is a real phenomenon that threatens our future is a moral disgrace. By rejecting climate science and thwarting efforts to combat the growing crisis, Donald Trump and his fellow Republicans are ensuring many more historic storms like Harvey and Irma in the future. It is a moral duty, then, not only to discuss climate change after Harvey, but to shame Republicans who are currently accelerating humanity's extinction. But it goes beyond simply discussing climate change. We also have a moral duty to talk about the economic system that has brought us to this point. That is, we can no longer talk about climate change without talking about capitalism, which has laid waste to our planet and now impedes humanity's effort to deal with the climate crisis it engendered. Simply put, capitalism is an economic system that prioritizes short-term profits over the long-term good of society and the planet, and as a result encourages myopic self-interest that often has dangerous long-term consequences. This is evident in the behavior of multinational corporations that put profit over people. Capitalism is also a system that is based on endless growth, which has been sustained over the past few centuries by the depletion of our natural resources. It is becoming increasingly clear, however, that this addiction to endless growth is unsustainable on a planet with finite resources, and like all addictions, it will eventually backfire spectacularly. Capitalism has brought unprecedented material progress to humanity over the last 300 years. Even Karl Marx once wrote of the great civilizing influence of capital. But he also recognized the economic system's inherent destructive tendency, and he realized that corporate capitalism does not offer a sustainable future on planet Earth. If we fail to make radical changes to our economic system, the chances of successfully confronting climate change decline precipitously. And if we fail to confront climate change now, nature will surely take its revenge on all of us in the future. That was an article entitled Climate Change and Capitalism. We Can't Confront One Without Facing the Other, by Connor Lynch. Connor Lynch is a writer and journalist living in New York City. The article can be found on the Salon.com webpage. The other article I want to share excerpts from today is by Mark Hertzgard, entitled Climate Denialism is Literally Killing Us. The horrors hurled at Houston and the Himalayan lowlands in late August were heartbreaking, but also infuriating. How many times must we see this disaster movie, titled Hurricane Harvey in 2017, Hurricane Sandy in 2012, and Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Along with many lesser-known foreign releases, before we intervene and change the ending. And how long before we hold the ultimate authors of such climate catastrophes accountable for the miseries they inflict? At least 60 people died in Texas because of the storm. Over 1 million people were displaced. And who knows how many survived but lost everything. Multiply the death and destruction in Texas 100-fold to comprehend the scale of devastation in India, Nepal, and Bangladesh, where, although the news coverage has been a fraction of Harvey's, a staggering 16 million children are in urgent need of life-saving support after torrential monsoon rains and catastrophic flooding. What makes this so infuriating is that it shouldn't be happening. Experts have warned for decades that global warming would increase these sorts of weather extremes and that people would suffer and die if protective measures were not implemented. Many other experts have issued warnings, starting with NASA scientist James Hansen's landmark 1988 Senate testimony that global warming had begun and, if left unchecked, would threaten the future of human civilization. Yet Donald Trump and other powerful know-nothings in Washington seem perversely determined to ignore the lessons while doubling down on making things worse. Trump has crammed his administration full of climate change deniers while pushing full steam ahead on more oil, gas, and coal production. His EPA chief, incredibly, has urged governors to ignore the Clean Power Plan proposed by the Obama administration, aiding conservative efforts to gut the policy. Days before Harvey drenched Texas, Trump rescinded Obama's requirement that federal agencies take climate impacts into account before approving major infrastructures. And in a stunning insult not only to climate preparedness, but the legacy of U.S. space exploration, Trump nominated a climate denier with no scientific training to run NASA. When the president announced in June that he was withdrawing the United States from the Paris Climate Accord, I wrote in The Nation, I being Hildegard, to refuse to act against global warming is to condemn thousands of people to death and suffering today and millions more tomorrow. This is murder, even if Trump's willful ignorance of climate science prevents him from seeing it, end quote. That judgment grows more apt with each passing day, and if we don't reserve course. Knowing that what we know in 2017, expanding fossil fuel productions like big tobacco contributing to addict people to its cancer sticks, technically legal, but in effect premeditated murder. It's past time to call out Trump and all climate deniers for this crime against humanity. No more treating climate denial like an honest difference of opinion. When big tobacco executives swore to Congress that nicotine wasn't addictive, their assertion, though laughable, did not make it true. 46 state attorneys generals forced these companies to pay at least $206 billion for their wickedness. Now the individuals and institutions pushing climate denial must be talked out with even greater vigor in newspaper columns, on TV and radio talk shows, in town halls, at the ballot box, and by consumer boycotts, legal investigations, shareholder resolutions, street protests, and more. The first step toward justice is to call things by their true names. Murder is murder, whether murderers admit it or not. Punish as such, or we encourage more of the same. That was an article by Mark Hertzgard entitled Climate Denialism is Literally Killing Us. Hertzgard is The Nation's investigative editor at large and is the author of 7 books, including On Bend and Knee, The Press and the Reagan Presidency, the article being found on The Nation's webpage.